There was a time, not too long ago, when most clothing bought in the U.S. was made in the U.S. No longer. Take T-shirts, for example. Most shirts on sale in American stores today come from such countries as Honduras, Vietnam, and more often, China. Chinese companies have spent the last decade learning how to perfect the cheap manufacture of quality T-shirts. And with the expiration of apparel quotas, China is expected to dominate the world T-shirt market. This week we're running a series inspired by the book The Travels of a T-Shirt in the Global Economy by Pietra Rivoli, a professor at Georgetown University. We asked her to show NPR's Adam Davidson around Shanghai, where many T-shirts are sewn.
The Huangpu River, a tributary of the Yangtze, has been a cotton and textile water highway for almost 100 years. Pietra Rivoli is on a boat looking out at Shanghai, China's busiest and fastest-growing city.
The cotton for a typical T-shirt that was made in China might have left West Texas and gone to California and then to Long Beach, probably the big port on our West Coast, and traveled all the way here.
Much of the U.S. cotton arriving at the port of Shanghai is knit into cloth and then sewn into T-shirts. And this is exactly what Shanghai workers have been doing for most of the last 100 years, making T-shirts and other apparel. But things have been changing rapidly in recent decades. Shanghai has become the financial center of mainland China. Instead of cotton mills, the banks of the Huangpu are crowded now with exciting postmodern skyscrapers that house things like banks, ad agencies, hip restaurants, and absurdly expensive shops. The city has a newness and wealth that rivals New York, London, and Tokyo. Rivoli says none of this would be here, though, if the textile mills hadn't come first.
Because once you have one kind of factory, you can diversify into other kind of factories, and your workforce gains skills, and you get this infrastructure that you see here that allows the ships to come in and out, and it allows trade to flourish. So it really started. What you see here today, which is really a fantastically modern city, was started by the investment of especially the British and the Japanese and the cotton factories that they built.
This is a familiar story. The first industrial revolution began in British textile mills in the 1700s. In the 1800s, textile production came to the U.S. and spawned our economic and industrial growth. The same thing happened in Japan and Korea after World War II. Most textile mills can't afford Shanghai rents anymore. That's why the Shanghai Challenge Textiles Company is in the suburbs. Workers, mostly young women, sit at rows of tables and sew cut cloth into T-shirts. Half of the production is for Nike. They also do work for Eddie Bauer and the Japanese company Moschino. Things have been changing ever since Nike became a customer last year and insisted upon strict new rules to improve the conditions and safety of workers. Akira Morizane, the manager, stands at the cutting table where a very sharp blade cuts raw cloth into usable size.
According to Nike, when we use this cutting machines, we are supposed to use iron gloves.
Nike's code of conduct has 125 other items. Things like no child labor, clear fire exits, and extra pay for overtime. A Nike official visits a few times a year to check. 10 years ago, almost no company had a code of conduct. Apparel plants were often miserable places to work. There was a lot of child labor. Then some consumers in the U.S. and Europe demanded a change, and eventually the corporations responded. Today, there's plenty of room for improvement, but all over the developing world, plants are making progress on safety and working conditions. In some places, workers are making more money. Take Japi. She's 22 and has been sewing at Expert Manufacturing Facilities, a T-shirt plant, for 3 years. She says she likes the job, but does look forward to Sundays, her one day off, when she goes to the shopping mall with her friends to buy clothes.
Because I have my own job, I have extra money to spend, so I can buy lots of things I like. When my mother was young, at that time, they have to save lots of money, so they don't have any chance to buy this kind of thing.
Japi makes 1,400 yuan a month, about $150. That's a lot more than she'd earn on her parents' duck farm. Like British and American and Japanese textile workers before her, she's in good position to gain more skills and make more money. And she might be able to do that without leaving this plant. Its owner, Swedish entrepreneur Michael Mickelborg, explained that he no longer just makes T-shirts. His seamstresses sew Halloween costumes for Walmart and other U.S. stores. He showed a Snow White outfit to Pietra Rivoli.
This is very, very deluxe.
This is a kind of velvet. Part of it is a satin, and then you see a lot of gold beads and stitching. Quite elaborate.
It is very labor intensive. And it's a high, some of the materials, are a little high, the satin is a high quality material here. This is quite unique.
Costumes are more expensive and require greater skill than T-shirts. For Mickelborg's company, this move from T-shirts to costumes is the first small step up the ladder of technological advancement. Mickelborg can now pay his workers more, and they can experiment with more technologically advanced products, like an electronic medallion that goes on the front of a Spider-Man costume.
Is it working now? Can you show it? It's fiber optics inside. Yeah, you can see here when he...
Oh, wow.
Yes, there you go.
Okay. So Spider-Man is blinking green lights here.
You'll see them in Walmarts this October. And if history is a guide, this plant could soon be making low-end electronic parts. As Chinese workers do better, though, there is a price to pay on the other side of the world. Greg Burgess used to work at one of the many T-shirt plants in Florence, Alabama. It closed a couple years ago. It couldn't compete with all those cheap Chinese imports. Burgess remembers the day he realized Florence's economy was in trouble.
I was actually at Walmart with my wife, and she was trying some clothes on, and I just walked over to a rack of shirts. There was like six shirts on this rack, and I just flipped through, and not one tag said made in the USA. And I knew then, I mean, these were from all different countries, Mexico, Sri Lanka, Dominican Republic, China, and I knew right then, I said, not one shirt out of six in the U.S. And then we knew it's time to start looking for something else.
Tomorrow, we'll visit Florence, which was once called the T-shirt capital of the U.S. We'll learn how the community is coping with the loss of thousands of T-shirt plant jobs. Adam Davidson, NPR News.
China's domination of the global textile market could have an even more severe effect on developing countries such as the Philippines and Sri Lanka. Economist Pietra Rivoli addresses that issue on our website, npr.org.